Tonight, we want to read from the Old Testament book of 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 17, we're going to read verses 12 through 14 there. To kind of give an idea of the lesson we're going to consider for just a few minutes this evening. First Samuel 17, beginning in verse 12, the Bible says this. Now David was the son of that Ephrathite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse, and he had eight sons. The man went among men for an old man in the days of Saul. And the three eldest sons of Jesse went and followed Saul to the battle, and the names of his three sons that went to the battle were Eliab the firstborn, and next unto him Abinadab, and the third, Shema. And David was the youngest, and the three eldest followed Saul. At this time, let us pray. Jesse had three older sons who had followed Saul to battle. And as they'd gone out, the Bible teaches us that they'd been gone now for well over a month. He begins to worry and fear what's happened to them. The Bible tells us that he picks the youngest of his son David to go to see his brothers, to find them, to speak to them. And as the Bible says, to take their pledge. 1 Samuel 17 and verse 17, the Bible tells us, And Jesse said unto David his son, Take now for thy brethren an ephah of this parched corn and these 10 loaves and run to the camp to thy brethren and carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of their 1,000 and look how they fare and take their pledge. He wants to know how they're doing, if they're safe, if all is going well with them, and perhaps even to know when they'll be home. The Bible tells us that when David gets there, before he is able even to find his brother, he finds out exactly what's been going on down there. The Bible tells us he arrives at the trench, which somewhat of a storehouse, I guess you might say, and he gives these things that he was supposed to the captain of their 1,000s to provide for them. And while he is there, he notices that all the army is gathered together on their hillside looking down into the valley. As I understand it, one of the customs of warfare in that day and age was that whenever they would go to battle, they would find a suitable valley, and the army would line up on one side, and the opposing army would line up on the other side. That's what's been going on here. But instead of them going down in the valley to fight, the Bible tells us that for 40 days now, Goliath has marched down in that valley and has issued a challenge. Notice what the scripture says in verse 8. Well, the Bible reads, And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel and said unto them, Why are ye come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine and ye servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you and let him come down to me. And if he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then will we be your servants. And if I prevail against him and kill him, then shalt thou be our servants and serve us. The Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. When Saul and all Israel heard the words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. They were afraid of this man Goliath. The Bible teaches us that he was a man of war from his youth, but not just a man, not just a fighting man. He was a mountain of a man. Quite literally, he was a giant. And his instruments of war, the Bible tells us, they had a bearer who walked before him simply to carry his tools that he fought with. This man was huge. This man was fierce. And they were afraid of him. As the days and weeks had drawn on, when they heard this challenge, they would all leave that line instead of marching down there. And you know, in my mind's eye, I can almost see David as he stands there among these soldiers, looking down on that Philistine and hearing his challenge. Perhaps in childlike admiration, he thought that surely one of his brothers would march down there. This uncircumcised Philistine, he don't know who he's talking to. My brother Eliab, surely he'll take care of this situation. But looking around, Eliab doesn't leave. Abinadab, my brother, he'll take care of you. There's not much to that. But Abinadab doesn't step off the line. Shema, he'll take care of you. We understand who God is and who you are. But Shema too doesn't leave. David is surprised that no one is willing to destroy this Philistine. The Bible tells us in verse 24, "And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, Have you seen this man that has come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up. And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches and give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, What shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine, that he should defy the armies of the living God? And the people answered him after this manner, saying, So shall it be done to the man that killeth him." As if it's not enough insult to understand that these fighting men, allegedly the army of Israel, are so big a coward that they won't go down there and dispatch this lowly Philistine, he also finds out that the king has offered a reward. If a man would go down there and kill him, he would give him his daughter to wife. Not only that, he would enrich him with great riches, and he would make his father's house free in Israel. You want to talk about some enticements. And as these men talk about it and reason about it, David begins to wonder. David begins to reason. And he goes from man to man, simply asking, "Now what? What shall be happening to the man who destroys this Philistine?" And they begin to tell him what it was. And I want you to notice how he says this. "What shall be done to the man who kills this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel?" Nobody else seemed to understand that what was happening here was a shame. These were the people of God. These were the children of God. The same God who by a high and mighty hand had led them out of Egypt. The same God who had blessed them and cared for them in their wilderness wanderings. The same God who brought them into a land of promise was still faithful to them. But they were afraid to march out and do away with this uncircumcised Philistine. This word finally comes back to his eldest brother. The Bible says in verse 28, "And Eliab his eldest brother heard when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, Why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle." Notice this. His older brother, perhaps stinging with shame, begins to chide him and begins to scold him. "What are you doing down here?" You know, he must have been embarrassed standing there as these men were, looking down and trembling at that giant, when suddenly he began to hear a familiar voice. And it's not just the voice of his little brother. He's not happy to see him. It's not that little David's come to see us or brought a message from Dad. Not at all. He's standing over there saying, "What about this reproach that needs to be done away with? Why is it somebody didn't go down there and kill him? You mean to tell me nobody's brave enough to go down there?" Eliab's not glad to see him. He turns around to him and says, "Why are you here? What are you doing here?" "Oh, I know how you are. I know your pride and the naughtiness of your heart. Come down here to see a fight, to see a battle. You ought to be at home. What have you done with Dad's few sheep that he's put you over to take care of?" Well, unbeknownst to him, his father had put them sheep under the hand of another servant to take care of them and to tend to them. And as this is noised abroad, it comes to the ears of the king. Saul knew David and knew him right well. And understandably, he knew his elder brothers. The Bible tells us that he calls for David. David, with whom he had spent many happy hours. David, who had before the king played and soothed him. The Bible tells us he begins to speak to him and he begins to reason with him. Notice this. In verse 31, the Bible says, "And when the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for him. David said to Saul, Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Thou art not able to go against the Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth." And David said unto Saul, "Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went after him, and smote him, and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard, and smote him, and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God." And David said, "Moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said unto David, "Go, and the Lord be with thee." Now, I love David's attitude. When they call him in before Saul to explain himself and talk about this situation, you'll notice what David does. He says, "Don't worry about it. Let no man's heart fail him. Y'all don't worry about it. I'll go off down there and do away with him, and we'll be through with this menace. Don't worry about it. I'll take care of it." Saul says, "You can't do that. There is no way in the world you can do that. This man, he's a man of war from his youth, and you're just a little boy." Well, this man Saul certainly had known David, but really didn't know what kind of man David was becoming. David began to rehearse for how it was that he was a shepherd and had spent, no doubt, most of his young life as a shepherd. And as he tended his father's sheep, he says, "There came a bear and there came a lion and took a lamb out of the flock." He says, "You know what I did? I smote him and I delivered that lamb safe out of his mouth." And then he says, "That lion and that bear, they both rose up against me." And I love the way he describes it. That bear rose up against him, and he says, "I took him by the beard, and I slew him." To me, this is the part of the scripture, some of the verses of the scriptures that I read that kind of gets my blood to pumping. You know what the Bible says? He took him by the beard. I can almost, in my mind's eye, see him running his fingers into that greasy, scraggly beard that hung down from that lion's face and taking a hold of him and killing him deader than a hammer. You want to talk about much a man. This little boy is much a man. But you know what he says the problem was, or whether who should get the credit for the killing of the lion and the bear? What his own merit? What his own strength? He says that the Lord,
who delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. So clearly David can see the situation, the reproach against Israel, the enemy who really was nothing before the Lord, and the blessings of God that could be ensured if a man would just be faithful to God. Surely the Lord would deliver a man who would march out against this Philistine who defied the armies of God. David said he would just be that man. And that blessing would be on him, just as it could have been on any man. King finally understands he's getting nowhere with David and says, "Go." But you know, he insists on him that he take the king's armor. The king says, "Here, take my armor and go and fight." The Bible tells us that David argued and said that he couldn't use the king's armor because he hadn't proved it, hadn't used it, hadn't tried it on. Of course, it wouldn't fit him. David's just a youth, the Bible tells us. But Saul, at his coronation, the Bible tells us, was head and shoulders above every man there. Saul was a big man. And I'm sure when they began to set that armor on David, it dripped off of him on every side. He probably looked like a turtle in a paper sack. It just didn't fit. It wouldn't work. And so David says he'd not take it. And he left it there. And he went down to the place where Goliath was. And along this way, the Bible tells us, he took his trusty old shepherd staff with him. He took that bag that he carried food and sustenance in. Along the way, he scooped up 5 smooth stones, tucked them away in that bag, along beside the sling that he carried with him. And he marched down in that valley to meet this Philistine and to destroy him. Verse 43 says this, "And the Philistine said unto David, Am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves?" The Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, "Come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and the beast of the field." This man is incensed. He's insulted.